This is Galen Joseph Hunter, and you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, Creative Community Radio in Greene and Columbia Counties. And I am here in the Hudson studio live now with visiting artist Nick Uhlman, who is in town because he has a piece installed in the exhibition Bing Bang Boing, opening this evening at the Greene County Council on the Arts Gallery right on Main Street in Catskill. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Galen. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I'm thrilled that we were able to throw this together and catch you while you were in town.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here.
Good. So a little bit about Nick before we start a conversation. Nick is based in Brooklyn, and he works with sound in a variety of contexts, including mechanical, musical instrument, installations, interviews, field recordings, and pop songs. He's shown and performed his work at venues in New York and beyond, including a list such as Smack Melon, Flux Factory, the Museum of the Moving Image, the Coney Island Museum, and others. In the spring of 2010, Uhlman was artist in residence at the Center for Contemporary Art in Warsaw, Poland, and worked on a really interesting project there that we'll talk a little bit about. For that project, he recently received a regrant from the New York State Council for the Arts that's administered by Free 103.9, which is WGXC's parent organization, to produce a record documenting the work created during the residency in Warsaw. Uhlman is currently working with the North Brooklyn Public Art Coalition to create No Bills, which is a public sound installation located in construction fences throughout Greenpoint. I'm truly a local that I said Greenport by mistake, which is the neighboring town to Hudson. Greenpoint and Williamsburg, Brooklyn, that will present oral history interviews recorded with longtime residents of the two neighborhoods. Professionally, Uhlman has spent 5 years working with the National Oral History Project StoryCorps. He traveled the United States recording interviews. He's managed the organization's recording and archive department and has consulted on a variety of other projects there. Uhlman received his BA in studio art and English from Wesleyan and is currently at NYU's ITP program, which is the Interactive Telecommunications Program.
Yes, that was very thorough.
Now we have nothing less to say. So where should we start, Nick? How did you come to have interest in the work that you're making?
Well, I guess sound has been, an interest of mine for a long time and worked with music. And I started doing the mechanical pieces, the work with mechanical instruments, after, recording an album that was largely kind of sample-based, so creating instruments that were samples of just different objects and then mapping those out onto kind of a tunable keyboard and composing music for that. And then having some frustration that that couldn't really be recreated in any kind of a compelling physical way. And so came to start building actual physical instruments that could do a similar thing and be used for installations and performances. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the beginning of that. But I'd done sound installation work before and had a long-term interest in radio and, of course, working with StoryCorps, doing a lot of recording.
Sure, yeah. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what they might experience over in Catskill at the Bing Bang Boing exhibition?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you'll experience a great many things. There are a lot of interesting pieces in the show. The piece that I brought is something called Song Cabinet, and it takes the form of, it's a library card catalog with a set of drawers, and in each one there's a different set of mechanical instruments. And so as you pull each drawer out, the instruments inside become activated and start playing rhythms. And then by mixing the different drawers and pulling out different ones, you can sort of mix a song or mix a rhythm, really. I can play a little excerpt of that. It'll take a little bit of imagination to understand what's going on here. But of course, people are invited to come down to the gallery and interact with themselves.
Okay, great. Yeah, let's have a listen.
Thank you. Yeah, so just as each of those elements was changing, what was happening there was a drawer was being pulled out or pushed in, and so it's sort of a physical manifestation of a mixing board, kind of.
In a wonderfully beautiful, low-tech kind of way.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it's like a cabinet of curiosities or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So there was what you just heard was the soundtrack to a little documentation that Nick has up on Vimeo. And how would someone actually get there? Would they just search your name?
Sure. I have a website, which is nysoundworks.org, and the work is linked from there.
Okay.
And yeah.
It really is. I was able to pick Nick up at the gallery a little bit ago and got to play with it for the song cabinet for a few minutes, and it was really, really lovely. And I think we were talking about this on the ride over. The show in general is such a nice access point for people who might not have a lot of experience with sound art or experimental music, and it's so tactile and delightful, I think.
Yeah, no, there's a real range of things there. And one of the things that I was enjoying is just in installing my own piece, is that because there are all these things making sound within the gallery, they're kind of these overlaps. And, some of the other pieces were being played over top of the rhythms of that, and it was kind of creating this interesting music just all together, just indeterminately, I guess. But
it's kind of a rare example of when a group sound show actually works, right?
It's true. Those are kind of notoriously hard to
negotiate,
hard
the cacophony.
Anything, yeah.
But actually, do all the pieces in the Bing Bang Boing show turn on and off?
I think it's a mix. Some of them are instruments that are designed to actually be performed with and played in, and throughout the run of the show, they're going to be performances.
Right.
So people whose music doesn't play by itself by machines, I guess they're going to be performing with those instruments. So.
In fact, since you mentioned that, Fawn Potash over at the gallery was wise enough to send me a list to mention. So tonight, as we mentioned, is the opening, and it's from 5 to 8. And what is the gallery's address? It's right on Main Street in Catskill. And I don't have the address handy here, do I? Do you know it in your head?
I don't, but it's certainly recognizable.
Yeah. Hopefully our listening audience regularly visits the gallery there. So that opening's tonight from 5 to 8. And then the exhibition itself is on view through July 2nd. And then there is this great performance series that I'm really looking forward to. There's a performance on May 7th. There's one on June 5th. There's a lecture and concert on June 19th. And then there's going to be a big sort of culminating bash of a performance on July 2nd down at Catskill Point, I believe. So greenarts.org is the Arts Council's website, and I'm sure they have lots of info there. And in the actual gallery space, I think you've got a Dewanatron next to you. Is that piece technically called a Dewanatron? Do you know?
I think that they call those wall gens.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I don't know the terminology really, but I guess Dewanatrons maybe are the blanket term for all of them.
I'm not sure, yeah. But it's an instrument made by Brian Dewan and his cousin, right? And you were playing it with your piece a little bit, which it was this lovely kind of duet. Yeah, so that's really fun. Okay, so tell us a bit about what you were doing in Poland.
Sure, yeah. So I was there for 3 months on a residency that was part of Art in General's Eastern European Exchange Residency. Art in General's, a great nonprofit arts organization in Tribeca. And they have this exchange with a number of institutions, including the Center for Contemporary Art in Warsaw, which is a longstanding art museum there in a castle, which is nice. And so I was there, living there for several months, and was creating a number of new instruments and kind of writing new music for them. excuse me. And so I did a concert there, which was performing with the various instruments that I built, mostly from materials that were sort of scavenged from around the city as well. Just kind of would head out on a bicycle and kind of grab pieces of metal or things like that seemed interesting, and built a series of instruments and then wrote music for them. And so, the record that I'm working on right now will be largely documentation of those songs. And, mm-hmm. There were some other elements as well. So I did a creative workshop that was open to the public that sort of combined this instrument construction practice with oral history recording in a way. And so It was creating an installation that was a combination of, so people were who were participants were asked to bring in objects that, you know, held some sort of personal significance and also that they wanted to use as sort of raw materials for instrument. And I helped them construct them into these kind of very basic mechanical percussion instruments. And then also recorded kind of brief descriptions or stories about that object, you know, what it meant for them. And then we also did some singing together. And then all those elements were sort of mashed together into this kind of strange, I would call it a song, but it was a sound installation, really. Mm-hmm.
And is that in your work with oral history, is that kind of entry point for people to ease them into, is that a common device, or is this something that you started playing with this particular residency? Or?
It was really the first time I'd combined, you know, what had been like very kind of separate streams, mm-hmm. and separate interests for me. You know, I'd been doing all this sound installation work and work with music, and of course I'd been recording oral histories, and I was curious to try to combine them in some way. And sort of use these objects as a focal point for both, that could be both something that generated a story and also a literal sound that could be combined together.
Mm-hmm. And do you think you'll continue these kinds of workshops? Or?
I would love to. I was very happy with how readily people kind of jumped in and started. You know, it's a very strange, unusual thing to start doing, is just in an afternoon be constructing this mechanical sound-making device, but people were excited about it, and I think the piece turned out very nicely. So.
What were the demographics of the participants in the workshop?
It was a range. It was mostly kind of adults, but there was one 9-year-old child who came in, and he was sort of the most intense and serious about the whole mm-hmm. process in some ways.
And were these people that were in the art community in Warsaw, or are they more like just general public?
I mean, I would say that most of them, yeah, found out about it because they, mm-hmm. you know, that they participated with the museum before. But
it seems like it'd be a great project that could kind of cross boundaries that might exist between art, like arts, those that are educated in the arts and not. And
yeah. Again, I think it's hopefully anyway a very like unintimidating way to kind of become part of a project like that. And in general, you know, I would say that I'm interested in work that, you know, has some kind of experimental sound elements or takes an unconventional approach to creating music, but retains some level of accessibility, or that, you know, you're drawn in perhaps because it is interesting, or like you can recognize it as kind of music, and then mm-hmm. sort of some of the more unusual elements reveal themselves.
Yeah.
I can play a little bit of that piece too.
Sure, like, yeah. And what is the piece called?
It's called Objects of Our Affection.
Objects of Our Affection.
And so again, what it is you'll be hearing is this is the installation recording, and it's a combination of these objects that people came in and constructed from very, you know, these things that kind of held memories for them, and then them telling a story about it, and then a chorus of all the participants singing together. Mm.
It's something quite sentimental for me, something that I received from my really close friend who is not anymore my friend. So I have good memories and also these strange feelings. This is something what you can keep inside key, so I receive it with key for the apartment. And of course I don't have this key anymore. I also brought a small bell, which my mother, when I was small, would go to my shoe, and when I was running, she could hear it. It was her story that she will not lose me because I made a sound. But I don't know, it was not true. It was just to tell me some fairy tale about this little bell.
Grzechotki mojego brata. Za bardzo się nimi nie interesują. No, ja swoich nie pamiętam. To moje zabawki były chyba podobne do mojego brata, ale już nie pamiętam. No, to grzechotki.
Thank you.
my favorite breakfast bowl that I used to have for maybe 10 years now. I got it as a present from my mother, and I ate every morning a breakfast out of it. And it broke suddenly, maybe 2 weeks ago, into very small pieces that I couldn't possibly make a new bowl out of it. But I didn't want to kind of throw it away, so I kept it. I took it everywhere I moved. So it was maybe a tiny piece of my family house that I kept. First and salt breakfast on it. Porridge with apples.
That's great. Of course, I'm immediately like trying to think of what object I would bring. Having a really hard time. Those are really lovely examples.
Yeah. It was a nice project, and it was a great way to kind of, you know, connect with a community of people that, you know, was only there as a visitor. So.
And so did they do a performance that was open to the public at the end, or?
The actual participants, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the piece was presented as an installation, mm-hmm. so it was more, I mean, they all came to it, but it was more just these objects and kind of the recorded voices of the participants coming from speakers within the installation, yeah.
So is that how most of your projects are made manifest, by in terms of an installation rather than performance, would you say?
I mean, yeah, it's a combination, I mean, but I often, yeah, I mean, for my own work, I sometimes call them song installations, because it will be definitely, you know, song-based music, but not with a physical performer. So it'll often be these mechanical instruments that are, they're all controlled by a computer and kind of detailed sequencing to create a composition. And then there will be vocal parts, but are often being broadcast to small radios throughout a space. So sort of playing with, you know, presence and absence in terms of these machines. There is no, you know, human input, but they are actually physically present and kind of are performing. And then the only kind of human voice is something that's quite distant and being broadcast.
So you mentioned the radio installation. Maybe, can you tell our listeners a little bit about, tell me a little bit about your choice in using radio in that way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, For me, you know, I've always been fascinated with radio and just kind of the way in which it's able to kind of represent like the human voice and human body, and I think that's very fertile ground to play with, and mm-hmm. and especially in working with, again, what I think of as sort of kind of a hybrid in terms of these machines that still exhibit some sort of personality and are physically playing music in the space. I thought it was an interesting kind of flip flop between mm-hmm. those things.
And do you use, so when you have them, just technically speaking for a moment, you're using multiple different frequencies, and or are you, talk about the technical infrastructure.
There's a couple of different things. So there are these song installations where it's my own recordings that I'm playing through them, but I've also done pieces that take the radios as sort of indeterminate samplers, and so mm-hmm. it'll create, you know, beats or patterns, and then just use whatever is coming through the radio at that moment as the material for the piece. So,
oh, okay.
So like the pattern or the rhythm will be set, and then just whatever is coming through, depending on, you know, the location and this, mm-hmm. the frequency to tune to, you get a different material. I can play a quick example of what that sounds like too.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
And this is called Radio Quartet, I'm reading?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice. I think you and I have talked about Joshua Fried in the past.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But he's actually doing a live Saturday morning broadcast on WGXC now from 10:30 to 11. So there's definitely a relationship there.
Yeah, he does beautiful stuff with pulling live radio.
Yeah. So how... So since I have the privilege of looking at the moving image as well, so there are four little transistor radios.
Yeah, and that's a piece with just four radios on the wall, each tuned to a different frequency, and then it's sequencing through. You know, I almost think of it as like a hip hop track too. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. So getting that rhythm, and then again just an indeterminate sampler that's pulling in whatever happens to be coming through the airwaves at the time.
And is it constant? Is the piece on all the time, or do you have it in an interactive capacity? Is the viewer doing anything to
it? In that version of it, it's just cycling mm-hmm. through a loop, and it kind of oscillates between being those tight rhythms and just kind of longer stretches, so there's a little bit more, it's more identifiable kind of what the, mm-hmm. the sources are. But
I like that piece a lot.
That's great.
So let's see. What else did I want to ask you about? This project that you're working on with the North Brooklyn Public Art Coalition.
Yeah.
How long has that been in the works?
Well, we've been working on it really in earnest since the winter. And what that is it's a public sound installation project that's going to be taking place around construction sites throughout North Brooklyn. And you know, neighborhoods that really, with a combination of the rezoning of the waterfront there during the economic boom and kind of the, you know, the recent collapse, there are a lot of construction sites that have just been stalled for years and years at this point. And so it's taking those sites that are sort of disconnected from the history of the neighborhood, because they're just kind of holes in the ground at mm-hmm. this point, and using them as places to present oral histories about the history of the neighborhood. And so we've been conducting interviews with, you know, long-term residents, business owners, activists, and that'll be, you know, we're not sure exactly when that's going to be launching, but sometime over the summer, those will be going up. So literally, you know, if you're walking down the street, the people that normally would be a view into the construction fence will become a listening hole. There'll be a voice coming from there, and you can kind of, at these different sites, listen to stories about the neighborhood.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Have you been working with the city in terms of doing the interviews, or are you working directly with different construction sites, or how are you approaching that?
Well, in terms of collecting the interviews, we've been, you know, both... Just from having lived in the neighborhood for a long time, just knowing people whose story I wanted to record, but mm-hmm. also doing some community outreach, you know, working with local groups that have you know, longstanding connections within the community, and just, you know, it's the kind of thing where if you ask somebody, you know, who in our neighborhood, you know, is an amazing storyteller and knows things about the neighborhood that nobody else does, like mm-hmm. Everybody has a response. So it's very gratifying to get to go around and talk to people about this stuff. So.
Do you have an approach to gathering those stories that is like very mapped out that you could describe to us? Is it more instinctual and kind of a natural exchange?
I mean, some of both. I mean, there are definitely questions. You know, I'll come in with kind of questions about the neighborhood. You know, and particularly, you know, there's an interesting time period in the 1980s when it was a real question as to whether the neighborhood was going to thrive, or basically, you know, there was a lot of like economic decline then, and sort of what was called planned shrinkage, and the city really withdrawing resources from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to hear about that time period, which is not, you know, it's certainly within the recent memory, but is not evident anymore on the street of you know, Williamsburg and Greenpoint.
So. Yeah, certainly not.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an interesting project. I'd love to see something similar happen in some of these areas up here. I love this idea of taking something that's kind of these vacancies. Actually, a project with the Greene County Council for the Arts is called Masters on Main, and I think there's perhaps a lot of opportunity for these kinds of projects throughout the U.S. now, but artists being given empty storefronts and using those spaces creatively, and it's a nice way to deal with the vacancies and the downturn for sure. So you were talking a little bit before about your interest in the musical.
Mm-hmm.
Do you Can you talk about some of the work that you do that might be more song based?
Sure. I mean, yeah. For years, I've played music, and as I said, I was sort of what led to doing this mechanical work was kind of a recording and songwriting project called Bone Conductors. Released an album in 2008, and then wanting to be able to take working on the computer and really enjoying all the flexibility of creating music and sequencing on a computer brings, but then also wanting there to be sort of a physical presence that could then be shown or really give somebody a reason to experience live. I can actually maybe I'll play a track, sort of demonstrate kind of stuff I do. So this is a piece from 2009. It was part of actually a compilation of all music using various toy instruments that was on a French label, and this is called "Island Is Gone." And this one actually uses a combination of its mechanical instruments, but also me playing instruments.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. So yeah, so that was, again, it's a song called Island Is Gone, and it's kind of combining mechanical musical instruments controlled by a computer and my own performance. Maybe I'll play some more songs here.
Yeah, that one, I think, this is the highest compliment as coming from the mother of a four-year-old. But I feel like that one would be, like, just absolutely please a younger listener, too, and like, really intense. I have to play that for Echo.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, it was from this kind of wonderful compilation on a French label of all music using toy instruments. Mm-hmm. And also because I was doing the project using toy instruments, it's sort of indirectly somewhat about my own kind of memories of my backyard growing up, yeah. Which is a very small stretch of backyard in West Philadelphia, but yeah.
Well, it definitely, as someone who's heard a lot of sound created from toy instruments that doesn't evoke anything about, like, youth or jubilance, it's nice to hear it manifest that way, for sure, yeah.
Good.
So the next one you're going to play is?
Sure. I'll play a track from, this is the album from 2008 that I did. And this is, again, sort of what led to doing a lot of work with mechanical instruments. And it uses a lot of instruments that are created using samples. So just kind of recording my own sounds and kind of mapping them out on a keyboard.
Okay. And are we going to enter this midway a little bit? Is that the plan? Are we going to hear the whole thing?
Start from the beginning.
Okay, yeah. Great. Here we go. Thank you. I'm sorry, I had our mics turned off for a second. I was saying that was terrific. That was great, I think, to quote myself precisely. Are these more musical things also on your website?
Yeah, and actually this whole album is available for download for free. It's with a net label called Love Sound, and they do great stuff. Every few months put out a free record, and you can also you can buy a CD of it. But if you check out Love Sound, which is LUVSOUND.org, you can download this record.
Great.
It's under the name Bone Conductors. Yeah.
Terrific.
And yeah, maybe I'll play one more track from that record too. And this is a song called the Decorder, and it's about the invention of, or not the invention exactly, but the popularization of magnetic tape. Which perhaps spurious story, but the story goes that, you know, the magnetic tape was being used by the Germans during World War II for kind of code purposes for transmitting messages, and then it came to the U.S. and kind of was first used in a popular context when Bing Crosby, who had a radio show, I mean, he was at the time one of the most kind of famous popular performers in the country, and had a popular weekly radio show, but was, you know, not pleased about having to be physically present for it each week. So when during his broadcast, you know, it would cut into him playing golf or going to horse races or whatever else Bing Crosby did. And so, I mean, he started using magnetic tape to tape his show, and it was good enough of reproduction that people couldn't tell the difference between that and a live broadcast. And so that was, and I believe actually using the machines that were first taken from the Germans during
the war.
And anyway, and so it's sort of a song from the perspective of Bing Crosby, but certainly not sounding like Bing Crosby.
All right, let's have a listen.
Thank you.
Nice. So if you are have just tuned in recently, this is Galen Joseph Hunter. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, and I am here in the Hudson studio with Nick Uhlman, who is a Brooklyn-based artist in town because he has a piece in the exhibition Bing Bang Boing at the Greene County Council for the Arts gallery in Catskill, right on Main Street, that's opening in 15 minutes. And the opening tonight goes until 8, and it's a really terrific show, and I encourage people to check it out if they're interested. So, Nick, you've worked, when I was reading your bio earlier, you've worked with a really great group of institutions internationally and in New York, and in fact, Flux Factory is a group that there's been a lot of crossover artists between WGXC's parent organization, Free 103.9, and Flux Factory. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that place?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Flux Factory is this kind of incredible place in Long Island City, Queens. It's an artist collective, and they have residencies, and they're also just sort of instigators as far as, like, they're always doing some kind of interesting public project or, you know, taking over some building. And and, you know, I've done a lot of different pieces with them, including one that was a giant walk-in music box, and also a piece that I'll play something from here in a sec. But this was from a project called Secret Clubhouse, and this was a collaboration between Flux Factory, The Believer magazine, and Lower Manhattan Cultural Council. Mm-hmm. And basically what this was is at an undisclosed location, because not everything was 100% legal, of course. It was but an old factory building that was in Long Island City. Different artists would occupy it for 2-week spans and then basically just had free reign to create what they wanted. And it was sort of an exquisite corpse type of arrangement where you didn't know who had been in there before, but you just saw kind of what they had done, and then people could come in and also respond to the work you did. And so this was a piece that I did during my 2-week stay in the factory. And it was sort of, I built this shack that was filled with mechanical instruments, a lot of materials, again, scavenged from the factory itself. And this is a song called From Chumps to Chumps. And it's actually a binaural recording, which is, you know, a recording made with microphones worn on your head. And so it's a resourceful listener is wearing headphones will get a very realistic portrayal of what the installation sounded like. And it's, yeah, again, it's sort of a pop song-based installation.
Great.
Thank you.
Oh, those are so great. I'm definitely, I don't know lovesound.org, but we'll be visiting it.
There's a lot of nice stuff there, and quite varied. I mean, ranging from kind of very experimental electronic music to, more song-oriented things.
Great. So, what else have you done that's binaural?
What a good segue. So another piece that I did, actually, as part of my Warsaw residency, it's a piece, it's part of a series of binaural pieces. And again, binaural recordings are, you're wearing microphones in your ears, and so when you listen back on headphones, it's a very realistic recreation of the kind of stereo soundscape. And so this is a piece called Panopticon, Warsaw Castles and Palaces. And so it was partially inspired by the fact that I was living in a castle there. And, Warsaw, this is a very interesting city. I mean, obviously during World War II, just was decimated in terms of, I think some huge number of the buildings, like 80% of the buildings were destroyed. But there's been a reconstruction process. And so there's this interesting kind of confusion between, you're at a medieval castle that may have been built in 1980. And so what is old there and what is new there is kind of confused. And then I was also there, actually a few days after I arrived, was when there was that plane crash that had killed the president. And I was, on that day, went to the place where everybody was gathering, which was the presidential palace, and was making some recordings there, that crowd, and decided to do a piece that took recordings from all of the castles and palaces throughout the city, so all these places that had at one point been a seat of power in some form, and sort of collapsed them into one sound space. So this is it's about a dozen different spots. But again, all by using binaural recordings, kind of creating almost like a sound photograph of that space, but then layering them all on top of each other, which is, I think, something you can do with sound in a transparent way that you can't do with images. And so sort of imagining what it would be like to be at all these seats of power all at once, sort of simultaneously.
So these were all, maybe you said this, these were all in Warsaw.
Yeah, all within the city of Warsaw, and they're all palaces and castles. And there's quite a diversity of what is called that. I mean, there's also... there's the Palace of Art and Culture, which was a Soviet building. It was sort of also called, Stalin's Eye, because it was sort of this constant reminder of the Russian presence in Warsaw throughout the Soviet era as well. But that's also a palace. And so, recording made there, and also at the castle where I was living, at the presidential palace, at various other royal palaces throughout the city.
What an interesting kind of take on oral history to do it through this mechanism. I think it's much different too than these soundscapes that kind of capture an urban space or a cityscape. But I'm looking forward to listening. I have high expectations.
Okay, great. Well, I hope it lives up to that. It's 5 minutes, and so it's a 5-minute piece of these combined binaural recordings at different castles.
Terrific. What a nice end to a cycle of the day. I was saying that we start these Saturdays in the mornings with some acoustic ecology, and that was a really nice kind of conclusion to it.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Nick Uhlman, so much for coming in and sharing music and work with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. And so if you've just joined us, this is Galen Joseph Hunter. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson. And we've been here in the Hudson studio with Nick Uhlman, who is a Brooklyn-based artist in town because he has a work installed at the exhibition Bing Bang Boing opening this evening at the Greene County Council on the Arts on Main Street in Catskill, and that opening starts right now, this very second. You better get over there. You can be fashionably a few minutes late. And goes until 8 p.m. And next, we are going to hear a rebroadcast of Zach Layton and Bradford Reed, who were visiting Wave Farm on April 16th, and don't be confused. I think they say it's 6:30 p.m. in the beginning, but it's actually 5 p.m. All right, so thanks for tuning in, and let's see here.